Welcome to Hypnotherapy Professional College Introduction to Hypnotherapy, presented by Sheila Nielsen. When we're looking at introduction to hypnotherapy, we first have to look at resistance and what resistance means. What is RDR? Resistance to Results is a personal development program based on the 21 Result Principles developed by Dr. Jennifer Alexander. In order for us to begin to change our beliefs and step out of the vicious circle, we have to learn the bigger picture. We need to have a scale in order for us to begin to learn. We need to learn how to have the tools to reflect on ourselves. The 21 Result Principles are a great way to learn what it looks like to begin our journey towards enlightenment, happiness, and self-reflection. The hardest part of personal development, of starting to grow and starting to release our past and get rid of some of our past beliefs, and is to be able to look inward. The hardest thing you will ever do is to be able to look inward, to look into your past, to look into why you are, to look into some of your belief systems, and to learn to let it go, to stop the judgment, to stop the vicious circle. The 21 Result Principles is a guideline, is basically a tool where you can go through and see how much of the 21 principles you abide by when living your life. Do you have judgment? Do you let go? Do you think you're perfect just the way you are? Do you understand that the stories of the past are just that, stories of the past? Most of the stories and the memories that we have of our childhood and growing up aren't true. They're totally based on the emotion we felt during the memory. So most of our belief systems are built off of a false perception of what really happened in our past events. Some are true, some aren't. When we seem like we have a traumatic event in our past, if we're able to go back and change it or go back and see the entire event, which you can do under hypnosis, then many times we see, oh, I didn't understand that that was the story. Oh, I didn't understand my parents were going through that. Oh, I didn't understand my parents had a fight 5 minutes before that happened. It actually didn't have anything to do with me at all. But you've been carrying it around in your life all these years thinking it was your fault, or you instigated the fight, or you deserved, you know, the abuse or getting yelled at or whatever happened. So the 21 Result Principles is a great guideline to begin your journey to look at what's really real, what's not. How do you live your life? Do you live your life to distinction, with integrity, with honesty? Do you believe your word? Do you believe that you try very hard to keep your word and your commitments? The 21 Result Principles is all about paying attention, listening to your self-talk, paying attention to how you really feel, what your self-talk is saying to you as you go through the 21 Result Principles and say, do I live my life like this? How do I live it? Do I lie to myself? Do I lie to others? When we look at resistance, what is resistance? Do you have a list of goals that you think you should have had, but it never worked out? Did you marry the spouse you always thought and dreamt that you would marry? Are your children as you thought your children would be when you were growing up and dreaming of your future? Do you have the friends in your life that you thought you'd have? Are you in the career that you dreamt that you would have always? What expectations do you have now, and how have your expectations affected your life? I always say that expectations is a great way to set yourself up for disappointment. If we have no expectations and we just allow to be what is and try to understand what we're learning from it or why it's happening to us, or if we sit back and we look inward and go, how do I live my life? Do I live my life constantly struggling, constantly trying to get that round peg into a square hole? Do I live my life like I'm paddling up a stream, up a current, instead of just allowing my boat to flow with the current? These are all things you need to look at when we look at resistance. Resistance is the form of, why do you not want to change? Is it too painful? Do you not think you can? What is your self-talk telling you that you can't change? What is your self-talk telling you that you deserve to be where you're at? Do you feel you're supposed to make more money, have a different job? What do you think is holding you back? What does your self-talk tell you that is holding you back? Do you have low self-esteem? Maybe you're not educated enough. Maybe you don't think your spouse is supportive enough. Maybe you have so many kids you don't think you can afford to make a change or make more money or educate yourself. Do you find you're anxious, stressed out, or unhappy? Do you live in the past or do you live in the future? Do you concentrate on the outcome instead of the journey? These are all things that we look at when we look at the resistance. What is stopping you from achieving your goals? Most of the time, it is ourselves. Most of the time, what stops us from achieving our goals, for what stops us from looking outside of the box, is our self-talk. What do we think we're not capable of? We've got to get off of this thing where I don't deserve it. I'm not smart enough. I don't live in the right town. I don't have the right house. I don't have the right friends. My spouse isn't supportive. My children wouldn't be able to manage me not being home. Whatever your excuses are, you have to let them go, because that's the resistance. When we're dealing with self-improvement and looking inward and personal development, we will get a lot of resistance, because many ways we look at it is resistance is our survival mechanism kicking in and going, that's too painful, that's unfamiliar, we can't do that, we don't know about that. So we have to figure out, if we have resistance, what is the resistance to, and how do we release the resistance? What if I told you that it's likely that every result you have today, good, bad, or indifferent, is because of your childhood conditioning? Our thoughts trigger certain emotions, generally before we're at the age of 8. This is where our resistance begins. We must recognize our resistance. Our childhood conditioning was influenced by our parents, our teachers, our grandparents, neighbors, peers, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins. Learn more about the self-talk, the vicious circle, fear, judgment, the five love languages, and many of our personal development workshops. They're all about an hour to an hour and a half long, and they all go over each one of these sections, which is part of our personal development journey. They all go over these sections piece by piece, explaining it in detail, giving you different tools and exercises to become aware of what your resistance is. Where does it come from? You know, if you believe that you should make $100,000 a year, but everybody in your family has never made over $35,000 a year, you have to look at, now we know why you're resistant, because you don't know what it looks like to make $100,000 a year. You don't know what it feels like. You don't know what kind of different friends you would have. Your belief system is, maybe I'm afraid of succeeding. Maybe I'm afraid of outdoing my parents. It's all about the unfamiliar, the reason why we don't go for what we want, the fear of success, the fear of failure, the fear of abandonment. Maybe we're afraid of how people will look at us. Maybe we're afraid that we'll lose our friends because we'll go to a different level of income. But if you truly know the way you are internally, and you have completely gone through and done the work and done the personal development and analyzed why you are the way you are and how you overcome it and do the exercises and start becoming more aware of who you are and who you want to be, the resistance will become less and less, but you must break through it in order to have a change. Let's look at how we release our resistance. In order for us to begin to work out our resistance and figure out what we are resistant to, we need to do a lot of things, like discussed in the previous slides. We need to look inward. We need to realize what our self-talk is. I tell people in my workshops and I tell my clients, the hardest thing you will ever do is to look inward. I have a lot of people that call me in my practice and they, I need you to fix my kids. I need you to fix my husband. If it wasn't for my mother, all of that is a form of resistance. All of that is you resisting looking inward. All of that is you resisting to work on yourself. If I could just change the whole world around me, everything would be better for me. If I could just get so-and-so to not work at my office anymore, my life would be better. It's not about any of that. It's all about you, your boundaries, how you feel about yourself, your worthiness, your guilt, your shame, your self-talk. Where is it all going? So we have to find it in order for us to work on starting to release it. We need to realize and understand our belief system, where it comes from. We have to look back at our past. We don't dwell in it. We don't live in it. We don't victimize ourselves from it. We just look back, and then we have an understanding. Maybe we look back and we change the story of our past. You know, maybe our parents yelled at us, or maybe they were hard on us. But maybe we sit and we look at what is their story? Why were they helicopter parents? Why were they so fearful of me going out or fearful of me having friends? What was going on in their life from their childhood development that triggered them to do what they did to me as a child or respond like they did? We have to learn about what our triggers are and their connection to our emotions. Triggers can be a million things. And I hear a lot of people talk about triggers. Oh, I was triggered here, triggered there. What a trigger is it is an attachment to a memory. And when we have the memory or the thought, it goes directly to the emotion when we first had it. So a lot of times if we're being picked on and we're fighting with our spouse or our spouse said something to us, you know, you're not worth it. You know, why do you think you can do that? Whatever it is that triggers you. Honey, what's for dinner? Whatever it is that triggers you, you need to connect that to why it triggers you. Why do you have an emotional reaction to a simple comment? Why, when somebody says something to you, do you take it so directly to heart? These are triggers. Triggers are directly attached to your memories, your thoughts, and your emotions. We need to detach the memories from the emotions so we can look at everything as an observer at a distance, so we can sit back and go, okay, I don't need to respond like a maniac. I don't need to have an emotional reaction to this. Let me just look at why I even feel uneasy about what just happened. Then we need to learn about our stories of our past and why they may or may not be true. All the stories of our past are not true. Everything is fiction. Nothing is fact. Due to the fact that when we think about back in our memories and back to our childhood, we can go, okay, well, this happened to me. I was bullied when I was little. I was pushed off the dock by my siblings. You have to look at the full story, because when we just look back at the memory and the thought of it, there's an emotion attached to it. So the emotion is only attached to a brief glimpse into that story. So we have to be able to detach the emotion from the story and look at the whole picture. Maybe your siblings weren't being abusive to you when they threw you off the dock. Maybe you guys were just roughhousing, and maybe it got too competitive. Maybe you slipped and fell, or maybe someone did throw you, but he threw you off the dock in play and not to be mean or vicious. Or if they were being mean and vicious, you know, you're not 3 years old or you're not 8 years old anymore. It's time to leave it in the past and grow out of it. Stop being triggered back to the 5 year old. Stop being triggered back to the 8 year old when bad things happen to you. Just let the past go. Forgive it. Put it in a box. Burn it. Whatever you need to do. That's what hypnotherapy is all about. Helping us release the emotion from the memory. You need to gain the tools to release and change the stories of our past. First, you have to understand if the stories are even true. You have to learn how forgiveness is a release and a tool to move forward. Forgiveness never means condoning what happened. Forgiveness is not for anyone else. You're not forgiving someone else for what they did to you. Forgiveness is all about you and breaking free and opening up the doors to be able to receive and stop having all these resistance and these self-talk and this negativity blocking the door that can help you expand and grow bigger and learn more and become a better person, a bigger person, instead of constantly be driven by your emotions and the triggers in your life. Let them go. Forgive them. Hypnosis is a great tool to help begin this journey. The definition of hypnosis. Hypnosis is an educational communication process that allows a person's conscious and subconscious mind to believe the same message. Some other definitions of hypnosis might be, hypnosis is an altered state of mind that bypasses the conscious mind and allows direct access to the subconscious and unconscious mind. This happens through putting the critical area of the mind aside and obtaining objectivity. So what the heck does that mean? The definition of hypnosis basically is the hypnotherapist, or you can do it under guided meditation or meditation with intent, will take you to a memory in your childhood, generally before the age of 8, and then you will actually feel the emotions that happened at that time of the first time you felt fear, guilt, abandonment, whatever it is, whatever that strong emotion that's attached to that memory, under hypnosis, we're able to put the thinking mind aside and go directly into the stories that have been deposited into the subconscious. And as we said earlier, most of the stories that have lied dormant in the subconscious mind aren't even true, or they're not the full story. They're half-truths. But unfortunately, they're attached to these very, very real emotions that we feel. So under hypnosis, we can go and connect to the original memory that has the original emotion attached to it. And we can go in, we can change the story. We can detach the emotion from the memory, which then allows us to move forward, to expand ourselves out, to stop living in fear or living in abandonment. Hypnosis and an altered state of mind. In this state of mind, it enables a person under hypnosis to enter a deep state of relaxation in order to change a deeply rooted belief or habit, such as a memory, such as an emotion being triggered. Maybe you get triggered and then you get angry. Well, a lot of people believe that anger is just a form of fear, but we're never allowed to express our fear when we're children, so it comes out as anger. Hypnosis is also a state of mind that occurs in every single person 5 seconds before entering and exiting the deep state of sleep. So when people say, I can't be hypnotized, oh, I've tried to be hypnotized, they might be referring to stage hypnosis. But everybody throughout their life, in every single day, I don't know how many times a day, maybe 100 times a day, goes into a different state of hypnosis. It's a light state. It's a state of mind where you lose time. It when you're doing a hobby, when you're focusing on something, when you're on a long drive, that is a state of hypnosis when you lose time. You know exactly what's going on. You hear what's going on. Nobody's controlling your mind. Your body just goes into almost a deep state of hibernative relaxation. In therapeutic hypnosis, we prolong the experience so that we can work within its parameters of the hypnosis. Like I mentioned earlier, we can go back into your childhood, back into the past. Memories that your conscious mind can't even remember, don't even know are there. We can enter them by putting the thinking mind aside and going through in the subconscious mind and accessing the memories that are triggered by different emotions. It's similar to putting the body to sleep while the mind remains totally alert. Hypnosis, state of mind. Hypnosis, like I said, is a narrow state of focus. It's a state of total relaxation, a state of narrow focus. When a person is crying, they're in a state of hypnosis because crying requires being in a narrow state of focus. When you cry, you're focused on the same thing that's making you cry, the same memory, the same emotion, the same hurt feelings. When a person cries, this is also a form of an emotional release. A thought triggers an emotion, release, making it very easy to access the memory in that very moment. They're already in a light state of hypnosis when they're crying because they've been triggered, they're feeling the emotion. You know, some people can watch a very emotional show or a Hallmark commercial or a very sad, sappy show, and they will cry through it. You have to understand what is, it's not the show that's making them cry. It's the memories or that are being triggered to make them cry, or maybe something they never had that they've always longed for, something that connected their abandonment issues or their fear issues or their lack of worthiness issues. Something in that commercial or that TV movie or show has triggered them into that emotion and into that belief. Other examples of hypnosis state of mind would be daydreaming, driving on long trips in a road trance, we call it. Maybe you're reading a book and you kind of lose track. Maybe you're reading a book and you actually enter and you start visualizing yourself into the story of the book. Maybe you become one of the characters. Or when you're watching TV or you're doing a hobby, at any time when you lose the concept of time, you will be in a state of hypnosis. Maybe not a deep theta therapeutic state of hypnosis, but you are in one. So everybody can be hypnotized. The only thing that stops people from staying or going into a deep form of hypnosis at first is our resistance to change, our resistance to feel the pain. Maybe we're resistant to go back to our childhood. But we have to understand, if we don't go back to our childhood and figure out what is directly connected, what memory is connected to what emotion, and if we don't release it, it will run our lives, our whole life. We will not be in control of our life. Our emotions will be. You know, we run into people and they're emotional. They're very emotional. They're emotionally traumatized. They look at things in an emotional state. This is because they're still living from the experiences being triggered from that 4-year-old or 6-year-old. We don't know it as a 50-year-old, but that's actually what's happening. And hypnosis can help release it very easily, very lightly, without a lot of trauma. Let's look at what hypnotherapy can treat. Hypnotherapy is to treat a numerous medical and psychological problems. Hypnotherapy assists in helping reduce or relieve the following behaviors, but not limited to. Just to name a few. Hypnotherapy can treat anxiety, depression, PTSD, addictions, anger, fear, phobias, guilt, self-esteem, self-worth, chronic pain, and so many more we couldn't possibly mention it in a brief introduction to hypnotherapy. But all of these are directly connected. The self-esteem, the self-worth, the depression, some addictions, the guilt is all connected to our original stories when we were that sponge under the age of 8, when we were taking in information, when all of our message units were coming in, when we weren't quite old enough to be able to digest and separate a real truth from a false truth. All we knew about is an emotional reaction when we were young. Let's look at what the client will experience under hypnosis. When under hypnosis, the client will hear everything the hypnotherapist says. The client is always in total and complete control. The client will remember everything they see, smell, say, taste. They have an absolute heightened sense of awareness, a sense of they actually feel the emotions and the feelings that they felt at the age of 4, at the age of 2, at the age of 6, because we've taken their thinking mind and put it aside and we've accessed the actual memories with the emotion attached to them. Under hypnosis, the client is able to speak, move around. They can remember vividly past events clearly and easily, without any effort at all. It just comes up. And it's funny with the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind will bring up the memories which have the deepest emotions attached to them, which then we can work on it. The client does all the work in their subconscious state. The client is able to focus and create imagery naturally and effectively. The client will be able to locate memories that have been ruling their lives and change the story and add a happier memory. They're able to go in when maybe they felt like a victim. They can go in and create a situation where they remember being empowered in the memory instead. There's so many cool things that can happen under hypnosis, under hypnotherapy. It can change your life, and this is why hypnotherapy is so effective. What is hypnotherapy? Hypnotherapy can be referred to as a number of things. Hypnotherapy is basically meditation with intent or with guidance from the hypnotherapist. Or we can call it a guided meditation, a healing meditation, a therapeutic meditation. The therapist works directly with the subconscious mind. The thinking mind is put aside because the body's in a relaxed state. And when the body's in a relaxed state, the thinking mind thinks, oh, I don't have to pay attention. I don't have to be in survival mode. I don't have to worry about, is this painful? And do I have to go and fight and flight? What's going on? Protection, protection. When the thinking mind is put aside, the subconscious mind can rise up and start clearing itself and start accessing memories that are attached to our emotions. We can go in and change the emotions and the memories that are destructive for our personal development, our personal growth. The client learns to help themselves. The client learns about releasing emotions and memories. The client is always in control under hypnotherapy. The client will learn so many tools on going into different situations. They learn about the vicious circle and what triggers us and why it triggers us. And under hypnotherapy, we can go and we can visit those triggers. Hypnotherapy, therapists can work directly with root cause issues, mainly developed from childhood conditioning during our developmental years. Most stories we have from childhood have altered our self-talk and have governed who and what we are today. Our self-talk that we say to us, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough. Why would I think I can get that? I don't deserve that. I wasn't a very nice person. Maybe you were a bully as a kid. Maybe you were a bully as a kid because you were trying to express how you felt trapped, or maybe you were abused, or maybe people weren't very nice to you, and it was a way that you had to try and empower yourself. We don't know, but under hypnotherapy, we can go in and access those childhood development years and go in and change it and release it and forgive. Hypnotherapy is a result-oriented therapy, locating the thoughts, beliefs. A therapist and the client can detach and release the memory that has a high emotional reaction. Phobias are a perfect example of a memory or a trigger that has an emotional reaction to it. If that memory didn't have an emotional reaction to it, you wouldn't be afraid of it. That memory has fear totally associated with it, and therefore it's a phobia. The science of hypnosis. Hypnosis is a scientific state which can be measured with an EEG. Hypnosis takes place when our brain waves are oscillating between alpha and theta states. Therefore, it's scientifically visible and scientifically proven that hypnosis does alter and change, and it relaxes our body. Our heart rate goes down. Our blood pressure goes down. 15 minutes of hypnotherapy is equivalent to 4 hours of sleep. Your body and mind are completely relaxed. It is one of the easiest and safest forms of healing emotionally. You can go in as an observer. You don't have to go in and feel every single emotion and traumatic event. You can go in like you're watching a movie and just watch the entire thing as an observer. But it's very important to see the entire story, the entire clarity. It's very important to see why this happened. What state was the person? Maybe something was done to you. What state were they in? Maybe it was done to them, and that's the only way they know how to express to you. Maybe it's taught of absolute and total fear that something was done to you. And we can go in as an observer and watch the entire scene play out and have a better understanding instead of that 1 second of maybe a 3 hour event. If we understand the 3 hour event, the beginning, the middle, and the end, we're able to process it much better in our subconscious mind, and we don't have to hold the emotion as strongly. Our survival mode can let go. We don't have to survive anymore because of that memory, the only little piece we remember of it. Myths of hypnosis. Hypnosis is not supernatural. Let's look at the meaning of hypnosis. It pertains to an order of existence beyond scientifically visible universe. Hypnosis is not sleep, a state of unconsciousness, an eerie state trance. Hypnosis is not mind control. The client is always in total control. As a matter of fact, if a client is in a deep state of hypnosis and the hypnotherapist goes and says something, tells them to do something or say something or imagine something that is so against their belief system, the client will instantly come out of hypnosis, or they'll open their eyes, or they'll disregard what the therapist says completely, because under hypnosis, the client is in total control. The only thing is, the body wants to heal. The soul, the mind, it wants to heal. It wants to stop having an emotional reaction to everything. So hypnosis works beautifully. It's a beautiful way to heal naturally. It's a beautiful way to be able to connect the mind and body reaction so that we're able to heal and understand from the point of view from an adult or a teenager or an older adult. We can look back on things that happened to us when we're children and go, oh, that really wasn't that traumatic of an event. I'm so past that now. But we don't know that we're so past it until we've gone back to find out what the true story was, what the actual event that maybe created our fear, our phobias, our uncomfortableness. Why do we feel unworthy? Why do we feel like maybe we don't belong or shouldn't exist? What happened when we were children? Maybe our parents were fighting, and maybe one of our parents drove away in a car, and we somehow blame ourselves for why our parents broke up, where we can go back and look at the true story, what's deposited in it, into our subconscious mind, and find out it had nothing to do with us. We were 4 years old, And actually, my parents loved me. And actually, it had nothing to do with me. It was their garbage, their belief system. And I was only witnessing a portion of it. So the moral belief, a hypnotherapist, as I mentioned in that past slide, never has the power over the client. This is not mind control. This is not one person overpowering another. The client always hears everything that's being said to them. The client is driving the bus. The therapist, if they're trained properly, just helps the client to guide to the emotions and the memories. The therapist goes in and helps the client to release the memory from the emotion. If something is said against the client's deepest moral beliefs, the client would either, like I mentioned earlier, stay in hypnosis and disregard the message, or they would open their eyes and instantly come out of hypnosis. They would generally confront the therapist and address why the therapist would make that type of suggestion. This is not against any belief. This is when a suggestion is detrimental to a client's well-being. Looking at stories from our past. Stories from our past are not always true events, but our interpretation of them can cause us traumatic emotions, fears, phobias to arise later. Sometimes the event never happened or was remembered so incorrectly that once the client goes in and finds out what the real event was, the client can release all the emotions attached to it. We hold so tightly in our subconscious events, the past, that inhibits us to move forward, to grow and set higher goals for ourselves because of our inhibiting belief from childhood. A hypnotherapist is a result-oriented therapist, locating the thoughts and beliefs while instructing the client to detach them from the emotions by finishing or changing the story they remember. It's no hocus pocus. It's not an altered state of mind. It's just a guidance, and the client can do it all under deep state of relaxation. It is healing to the soul and the mind and the body. Let's look at the success rate of hypnosis. The Journal of Holistic Health performed the following research. How well does hypnosis work versus other techniques? Psychoanalysis was a 38% success rate in 500 sessions. Behavioral therapy, 72% success rate in 22 sessions. Hypnotherapy repeatedly has been shown to be 93% success rate in 6 sessions, as long as the client is able to release and let go and relax, and the client doesn't continue to live in the vicious circle. We can do all the healing, release everything, but if the client wants to continue to feed the pain body and likes to live in the pain body, then it might take longer. But if the client generally finds hypnotherapy, they are ready to heal. They are so tired of their past emotional reactions, their past events. They're so tired of what's been happening in their life. They want drastic change, which is why they come to hypnotherapy. Alternative medicine. The practice of hypnotherapy by a qualified and certified hypnotherapist is often referred to as the practice of complementary and alternative medicine. The definition of medicine is the art and science of healing. It encompasses a range of health care practices evolved to maintain and restore health by preventative and treatment of illness. Let's look at the history of hypnosis. This is not a new age technique. This is not something new that maybe it came out in the 90s or, you know, the crazy hippies came up with it. Hypnosis is not a new method of healing. It has been used for almost every religion since the 1500s BC. Hypnosis has been around for over 5,000 years. In the old days, they used to use hypnotherapy to do surgeries, to do organ removal, to do eye plants, to do eye surgeries, to do major surgeries when they didn't have anesthesia available. Due to the different historical events, the practice went underground. Hypnosis has been widely used with other practices since an alternative form of healing. Many different practices, from Reiki to massage to dentistry to chiropractic treatment to different emergency medical techniques, have been used hypnosis to calm the person down, to reduce the pain. I dislocated my shoulder several years ago, and I was in such a state of shock. It was several long time went past before I could get to the hospital. So my body was going into shock from the pain and from the trauma, and they could not find the vein to give me a relaxer to kind of calm me down. So I had to put myself into a deep state of hypnosis. They clicked my shoulder right back into place. I didn't feel a thing. Even the doctors in the emergency room were like, wow, how did you do that? What was that all about? So you can totally put yourself into a state of mind where you feel no pain at all, where you can just breathe through it and let it go. If we put our thinking mind aside and just allow ourselves to breathe through it and stop focusing on the pain and just focus on feeling nothing, it works beautifully. A quote from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, U.S. in 2003 quoted this: "The purpose of hypnotherapy as a therapeutic technique is to help you understand and gain more control over your behavior, emotions, and physical well-being." Our courses involve on the hypnotherapy professional site. They involve many, many different ways. We created this site so that people will have a foundation of learning. They will have a way to be able to start the process on their own in the comfort of their own home. So you don't have to go to a workshop. You know, what happens is sometimes we go to a workshop and it might be a little bit above our head, or we'll go into a workshop based on consciousness or energy or judgment, but we haven't done the work. We don't even know how to look inward yet. We don't even know that we have self-talk. We don't know how to change our self-talk. We don't know what the vicious circle means. So the reason that we developed our courses as we did is we developed them so that everybody can move at whatever pace they need. So all we suggest is that you start at level one and move up to at least level five so that you get the foundation, you get the basis, you do the exercises, you start to learn to listen to the inside voice, to the self-talk. You learn and have the tools to change your self-talk, to reframe it. You have the understanding of why you behave the way you do, and now once you understand it, now you can target it and you can change it. Hypnotherapy Professional College is dedicated to helping people grow and learn. We tried to develop our courses to be about an hour and a half, some are 2 hours. We wanted everybody to have access to this site. Our courses are only $20. They're about an hour and a half long. Everyone can afford them. You also will have downloadable exercises. You'll have access to other workshops. Hypnotherapy Professional College wants everybody to join the journey. We want everybody to know how to heal themselves, know how to find happiness, know how to reach enlightenment. We all read about it and we hear about it and we see it on TV, but how do we actually get there? What does it actually mean? We developed the site to help people learn about themselves, their behaviors, their emotions, their habits, the results, what resistance is, how do we release it and move forward. We have tried to put an entire package together to help people of all ages begin their journey from the ground up. If you take one course and you go, oh, I know all this, that's great. Then just move up. Nobody's monitoring you. Nobody's checking your homework. We just want you to be able to have the foundation to be able to grow, learn, and heal from it. I want to thank you again for attending this introduction to hypnotherapy, and I hope it gives you an insight about our personal development courses, about hypnotherapy and how it can help you, and I hope you enjoy everything that you learn through our site. HPC wants to thank you for watching our introduction on hypnotherapy and hope that it has helped you to understand not only hypnotherapy, but that we've helped you to understand that your personal journey begins with you and expanding your beliefs, your mind, and gaining knowledge. Open yourself up to the possibilities of joy and happiness. Open your mind up to releasing your beliefs and behaviors. Understand that your emotions create disease in our lives. Knowledge is power. Take control and start here. Good luck, and we hope to see you in our personal development seminars.